The Last Word on Business.
With Forvis Mazars. Global insights, local solutions. Redefining professional services. Visit forvismazars.ie.
Ian Guider of the Business Post. The Business Post website has a fascinating story today about an Irish AI tech firm which has been sold for 425 million euro. What is this?
People always say, is there actual money in artificial intelligence or is it just hype? Well, here is an Irish company founded a decade ago. It's called Bright Flag. The founder is Ian Nolan. They have sold, as you said, for cash, $425 million to a big Dutch IT company called Wolters Kluwers. And the reason they're buying it is the potential of some of the software and technology developed by this company. It's aimed at the legal sector, at speeding up things happening in the legal sector. Most of their business is in the United States. 60% of their customers are in the United States. It's still a relatively small company. They only did about 22 million euro worth of revenue last year.
That's all.
Such is the potential for it and some of the things that they are doing. They only have about 150 staff. They'll all be kept on and moving over to the company. But such is the potential of their tools, the speed of productivity, to speed up work processes, that somebody has come in and said, we value the potential of this as so much that we'll hand over a massive check. So this shows the potential for people involved in artificial intelligence. You and I joke about it. Is it just hype? Are all of these companies wasting money building data centers? Well, here is proof that if you actually develop things that clients want or customers want that speed up their work and allow them to do things much more quickly, efficiently and cheaply, well, you're going to make a lot of money out of it. And this just, as I said, they're buying a company that just sold 22 million euro of revenue and paying, what, 40 times that?
I suppose if you're waived a cheque for 425 million...
Take your hand off.
But is there perhaps a problem that this is one of the problems for Irish companies, and particularly Irish tech companies, that maybe they sell out a little bit too quickly? You know, in the past, Irish companies developed by floating on the stock market, maybe releasing some of the equity. The owners, like, you know, if you look at your Kingspans and your Ryanairs and the rest of it, Paddy Power, the initial investors staying in there and bringing more. Whereas now it seems that the route for most companies is sell out when they could actually become even bigger and better.
Yeah, you could say this could be an Irish company that if they gave it another 5 or 10 years, could be worth 10 times this amount. But the trouble with a lot of Irish companies now, Matt, is they're not financed by founders who have built up a business over years. They're financed by institutional investors, venture capital companies. They have a time horizon of usually around 5, 6 or 7 years where they want to return on their money and they're quite happy to cash out. I think that's just the way the Irish economy is going and will continue to go over the next couple of years. But it shows you that we are actually building Irish companies out there who have ideas, they have technology and they have products that are in high demand. As I said, this is a business that's been around a long time. Their turnover is relatively small compared to many other tech companies, but the potential is there for them to grow so big, and lots of their shareholders, including the founder, are going to be cashing in an absolutely massive check, and they're all going to be staying on.
Okay, are the CSO estimates of visitors to the country coming more into line with what the tourism sector has been claiming?
I suppose a little bit, because we've had this debate so far this year. The number of visitors to this country has been down quite a bit. And the data put out by the CSO today shows that it is still down. So the number of visitors in April was 528,000 people coming to the country, down by just around 4%. Whereas earlier on this year, we were seeing drops of around 20%. And just even anecdotally, Matt, anybody who's been around Dublin will have noticed in the last couple of weeks, it's full of tourists, which is really good to see. The hospitality industry have been meeting with CSO officials in recent weeks because they don't believe it. They say, particularly in the hotel industry, your numbers don't match our occupancy numbers. Now, how does CSO go about collecting their data is, and they put it out clearly today, they don't count every single person into the country. They sample about 13,000 people at airports and ports around the country. They ask people on their way out, were you coming here for business? Where are you from? As in, what's your nationality? Where's your normal residence? And they say this is a representative sample, and that's where they get their figures. I think they're probably coming more into line because the official tourism season is kicking off. But even though the numbers are only down slightly, the actual spending by the people who came here is down heavily still on last year. It's down by around 10%, but that's a lot of money. That's around 40 million lower than it would have been last year. And that doesn't include airfares or bus, train or rail of sea ferry fares. This includes money spent on hotels, on B&Bs, on experiences. So the tourism industry is still suffering a little bit. And I think because Irish hotel prices were so expensive in the last couple of years, maybe that's got something to do with it. Maybe the fact that it costs a lot of money to go to the pub and have a meal, that might have something to do with it. But I think you're still going to see this argument over the next couple of months between hoteliers and tourism industry and the CSO.
Now, interesting pre-budget submission. We're at that time of year already, even though the budget's in October. I suppose the budget takes months to put together, so it makes sense to put in the submissions now. This one from ISMI, looking for a reset of how the minimum wage is calculated.
Yes, this is the Irish Small and Medium Enterprise Association, so it's the small firms representatives, and they've been pointing out for the last number of years the national minimum wage has continued to rise, and they believe it's being set at a level that doesn't really reflect the proper wages being paid by small firms out there, that because it's based on what's the median or the median wage in the public sector, and because our public servants are paid so high, they say that the national minimum wage is far beyond what many employers can actually pay out there. And they're saying it needs to be reset, or the calculation when it comes to putting it up every year needs to be reset, because employers out there, particularly in small firms, don't actually pay anywhere near what people in the public sector are earning. That wages would be much lower, and therefore the increases should reflect that. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who on the minimum wage say, actually, we're barely able to get by given the costs in this country. But there is a little bit of a point to it. Why doesn't it take into account the fact that, well, earnings in the accommodation sector, as I mentioned to you earlier on this week, are just €450. Average earnings are around €1,000. And if you're benchmarking what to put up the minimum wage every year against that, of course the increase is going to be much higher, and therefore the cost being passed on to small companies out there is going to be much higher, some of whom say they can't afford it. And one other thing I do want to point out, and this is my submission, and it's important for the media industry as well, they're calling for a big change in defamation laws.
Why? Why are they interested in defamation laws?
Because many of their members are retailers who are being hit with defamation claims from people they say are shoplifting, or they say to them, can I look in your bag or can I see your receipt? And then they're being taken to the courts, where they face huge costs from the legal industry and also potentially massive payouts. And what most of these people are doing to avoid that is to settle these cases with solicitors and their clients and having to pay out thousands of euro in damages. They say that if the defamation laws were changed, they would actually be able to say, look, actually, you haven't got a case here, and therefore, please go away. But they say this is something that's costing retailers a lot of money.
Thank you, Ian Guider from the Business Post. The Last Word on Today FM.